This is Deanna Spingola. Our guest today is Buthaina Nedlin, and she's talking about the fall of Baghdad, which happened on April 9th, 2003. But she's also talked a lot today about some of the things that happened before that. And it's been very interesting and very sad. Very sad to know that the U.S. government and the military has had such a disastrous effect on so many people, the lives of so many people, and the infrastructure of Iraq is just terrible.
Yeah, Diane, no electricity, no clean water, no doctor, I mean, no hospitals, nothing. Oh, just a little bit of history from the last century. You know, Iraq was under the control of Britain from World War One. And that's become, legal after Sykes-Picot. All the kings of Iraq, Allah bless their souls, they were very patriotic, and they paid their lives for that. All of them murdered. Especially the last king, King Faisal II. He's murdered hideously by those communists with Abdul Karim Qasim. All those kings, they wanted to get Kuwait back. Kuwait, in fact, it's detached from Iraq within that era. The Mubarak, the Sheikh Mubarak, who was become Prince of Kuwait, he was having great connection with the Britain even at the time of Ottoman Empire. In fact, all those Gulf region, the sheikhs of all those sheikhdom is backed by Britain. And then after Sykes-Picot, they become princes and kings. So Sheikh Mubarak, which is, I don't think even his name is Mubarak. My father once told me that their name is Slaba or Salba, something like that. Sheikh Mubarak allied with the British, to detach Kuwait from Iraq. His brothers, two brothers, they refuse it. They say, we can't live out of the mother Iraq. So what did he do? He murdered them. He killed them. So he became the only sheikh on that area. Then the people of Kuwait made a referendum. They wanted to go back to Iraq. They established something called the Free Iraq, Free Kuwaiti Movement. I'm sorry, Diane.
That's okay. It's prayer time.
Sorry.
Alrighty.
I fixed it from that time, but I forget. Yeah.
That's okay. That's okay.
So they made a referendum, and they asked to get back to Iraq. So the Sheikh refused the referendum, and he executed all the leaders of the Free Kuwaiti Movement. And from that time till the 40s, the Kuwait, all the postal service, all the mail service is under the control of Baghdad government. The school curricula and the postal service till the end of World War II is under the control of Baghdad. So from that time, neither the Kuwaiti nor Iraq wanted the Kuwaiti wanted to be detached on Iraq. Britain, in its sick minds, why they wanted to detach Kuwait? First, they find a stronghold or a base for them there, at the time the Ottoman Empire is still alive, but not quite alive. Second, to deprive Iraq from any real seaport or event to the sea. They want to strangle or suffocate the Iraqi land by make it a landlocked, they didn't have any other port. That's their sick minds.
Terrible. All righty, we do have a 3-minute break, and we do have some callers lining up, so we'll be right back in 3 minutes.
For many years, coffee lovers have learned that for the freshest coffee, you need to roast your own beans. Unfortunately, that usually meant paying more per pound for coffee than you could get it at the local grocery. Those wanting to store rich coffee for long-term use have been frustrated with the lack of quality coffee available with a long shelf life. So we usually settle for brand name coffee, either ground or instant. But now we have another solution. Canned green coffee beans. Green coffee beans have not been roasted. And since the bean is not cracked yet, the shelf life is many years longer than roasted or ground coffee. Due to the way it's packed, you can expect these to stay fresh for 20-plus years. Go to CampingSurvival.com to order your canned green coffee beans. A single can is only $11.94. Order online today at CampingSurvival.com. Use code FREEDOM and receive 5% off. CampingSurvival.com. CampingSurvival.com.
Herbal Healer Academy's new summer specials. Our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Organic liquid iodine, liquid cal, Meg, vitamin D, CoQ10 with hawthorn, colon enhancer, Super 2, natural laxative, our exceptional product, Connexin, memory power, and Super Male and Femplex. All on sale for the summer at herbalhealer.com. Also, 10% off on the HHA Survival Course. This is an important time to have this information. Might save your life. Nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education. herbalhealer.com. Free online newsletter. Quality natural medicine supplier since 1988. We ship the same day you place your order. Free 128-page catalog with your first order. Go to herbalhealer.com today. herbalhealer.com.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. TerraVim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from TerraVim? Simple. TerraVim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to TerraVim.com. That's TerraVim.com. TerraVim, the best supplements on earth.
And our guest today is Bethana Nevlin, and we do have some callers. Why don't you finish saying what you were saying right before we broke to the
break? Yeah. I mean, the last attempt to get Kuwait back is done by the very national government of Al-Gailani. He was the prime minister under the King Faisal, the government elected in May 1941. And they have a big movement called the Four Colonels, headed by Colonel Salah al-Din al-Sabbagh. That's the best and brightest of us. They call them the Golden Square Colonels there. Fahmi Saeed, Mahmoud Suleiman, Kamal Shibib, Yunus Sabah. They really challenge the existence of Britain. Not only that, I mean, all the Iraqi army that time, they made allied with the Axis, Italy and Germany and all those in World War II. And they opened a registration in Berlin at that time. It's called Hayu al-Arab, Extol the Arab, in which run by Mr. Yunus Bahri, very, very, very prominent journalist. And this registration was calling for get the occupiers from French and the French and the Britain outside, unite the Arab world again, and no more bases, any foreign intervention in our Arab homeland. From that time, even all the Arabs were listening to this radio station, and this is what sparked the first movement in the Egyptian Egyptian army led, headed by Jamal Abdel Nasser, and they did kick out the king and from 1952. So that's something that the English never the Britain never forget for Iraq, that they are the first to spark even for other liberation in movement in the Arab region. I told you they were allied with the Axis, and even they wanted people from the southern part of the Africa, Libya, Tunisia, and Algeria to fight with the Axis at that time. So that's
and many of them did. Many of them did.
Yeah, especially from Algiers, knowing that Algiers, 130 years under the French occupation, 10% of the people get massacred in order to get the French out. So at that time, Britain get mad, so they made a real occupation, a real occupation. They get their forces in Al-Habbaniya base in Baghdad, and then they managed to finish Rashid Ali al-Gaylani government, and he runs away. All the four, they call it the Golden Square, colonels were killed, and it was horrible, but they fought hard. From that time, Nuri Sa'id came. He was a stooge, and a stooge for the British. And in spite of that, he never forget Kuwait. After him, in spite of that, I mean, they want to control Nuri Sa'id to even finish the king, King Faisal II. He didn't manage it, so that's, they pushed, what's his name, Abdul Karim Qasim, which a lot of people in Iraq, they consider him a mason, pushed Abdul Karim Qasim, and he killed the kings in a heinous massacre, just like the Caesar in Russia, very heinous massacre called a Zuhur Palace massacre. I mean, nobody get alive, just a little, two newborn babies, and other than that, the kings, all his relatives were massacred. Of course, after Abdul Karim Qasim and his heinous rule of Iraq, I'll tell you just two of the tragedy happened in Abdul Karim Qasim. You know, Abdul Karim Qasim, he was surrounded by the communist party. And Abdul Karim Qasim get an assassination attempt done by Saddam Hussein at that time. But he survived it. And Saddam Hussein ran to Egypt from that time. He escaped there. When Abdul Karim Qasim took control of two heinous massacres, still, I mean, I heard it from my mother many times, and when she heard it, she was crying. The massacre of Mosul, in which he get allied with the Barzani and Talabani militia, and they did a heinous massacre in Mosul, killing the Arab. Then after that, they went a heinous massacre against the Christian in Mosul and the northern cities, and even they ended up with the massacre against the Turks in July 14, 1958. I mean, it was heinous. I mean, they have the communists there. I mean, they have their slogan, "Makum Amar Asir Walihbal Mawjood." I mean, nobody can defy our rule. We have the ropes, and we can. Hibal means ropes. They executed people. They on the trees. They make them an execution place. Very heinous. My mother, I mean, when she is talk about the Mosul massacre, there was a heinous crime against the medical university or medical college, and there they took some of the med college and they really tortured them. One of them, a female, I forget her name. I mean, she's a doctor student. They put a rod in her button and take it out from her head. So.
Oh my goodness! Oh my goodness! Yes, oh my goodness!
My mother, I don't know. She cries. I mean, she said they did the horrible thing. So at that time, Baghdad people, they get mad. So they revolt, and then Qasim sent some of the army to stop the communists. So the communists and Qasim were allied. The communists and the Barzani and Talabani get allied. They were allied. And then, Barzani and Talabani has no alliance to anybody. When they finished their crimes, they killed most of the communists who were hiding. The last batch they killed, or batch 500 communists, they killed them in 1973. So that's some of the heinous history. I don't know what to say. Yeah, that's what Britain wants. Britain wants this, and they did it, and they hated Saddam because Saddam stopped the massacre of the Iraq from Zahut al-Faw. That's his main crime. Yeah, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Go ahead.
A few people in the chat room are asking what the sirens are in the background.
We live nearby the fire stations, and you know, they have, whenever there is a call, the siren comes on.
Okay. we just didn't want you to get bombed.
No, I'm in U.S.
that's what I told them. All righty, why don't we go ahead and take a phone call? Let's take Hans in California. Hans, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Deanna.
Good morning.
I had a question. I wanted to know if your guests knew the connection between the Mossad and the fall of Baghdad.
The Mossad and fall of Baghdad?
Yes.
Yeah. Question. The Mossad has a long history of backing the Kurdish militia. The Kurdish militia started, Kurd, we were living peacefully. When did they start meddling with the Kurds? In the preparation of World War II, Barzani started to get money and control over the region, start to have the support of that time. It's before the State of Israel established. They call it the Jewish Agency. He has a big connection with the representative of the Jewish Agency in Baghdad. And from that time, the cooperation started. Then, in an honor for Barzani, David Ben-Gurion gave him an honorary rank as a general in the Israeli army. So there is big connection between them. In fact, Barzani, who established the whole thing, called the Israeli our brothers. And there is a documented book by a Kurdish people called the خطايا القيادة العنصرية ضد الأكراد وضد العراقيين على العموم. This book, I will email it to Diana, it's online. Edited by a very distinguished lady called, she's the daughter of Omar Miran. He's a very distinguished professor in Kurdistan. And he was assassinated within the 90s, because he exposed them all. He's not the only one. A lot of people exposed them. But he said, he affirmed one thing, the connection between the Mossad and the Israel. I'll send Diana a book. The Israeli admit that by themselves. And he said, all the wars happen in Kurdistan. Kurds has nothing to do with it. It just wars for Israel. And he paid his life for that. This book, I found it very interesting because, خطايا القيادة العنصرية, because it's Kurdish people talking about the history of the Mossad with Barzani. Barzani, he was the big guy. And then from Barzani, there is another faction called Talabani. Barzani, very, very, very connected with Israel. Talabani, he played on everybody, all of them connected, but he's mostly to Iran. So that's why when the invasion of Iraq happened and they toppled the government, the Iranian chose Talabani, not Barzani, because he's nearer to them, they're closer to them than Barzani. But there is a great connection. I'll send Diana all the stuff, and hopefully we'll find more than what I say.
All righty. We do have to go to a break. We'll be right back in 3 minutes.
Ground beef, eggs, butter, cheese, soup, sandwiches, strawberries, ice cream, coffee, and more. What do these foods have in common? They all come in storable, long shelf life food for you to save and use in uncertain times. Rather, if it is a meal or a snack, for a family or just yourself, CampingSurvival.com offers a huge variety of storable food for you to be prepared anytime. Go to CampingSurvival.com to order all your food. Eat today, save it for tomorrow, or store it for years to come. CampingSurvival.com sells healthy, nutritious, storable food in number 10 cans and pouches. Order online today at CampingSurvival.com. Use code FREEDOM and receive 5% off. CampingSurvival.com. Remember, save 5% off with code FREEDOM at CampingSurvival.com on all your prepared food needs.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with micro plant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, hempusa.org brings you a new formulation of micro plant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Micro plant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At hempusa.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, micro plant powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at hempusa.org today.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us at 1-877-605-9200.
Hans on the phone. Did you want to ask another question, Hans?
No, I just wanted to say that with all the Holocaust insanity we had over the weekend, I think we should really be saying, like, never forget what happened to the Palestinian people in Deir Yassin. There's not one mention on, like, the internet hardly. I was searching for articles. There's nothing, no news, outlet media covering it. So I just wanted to put that out there.
And I think we also should add what happened to the people in Iraq and Afghanistan, definitely. These are the people that have really suffered as a result of these Israeli wars in the Middle East, and all the wars there are for the benefit of Israel. Okay, thanks, Hans.
Then, Diana, I want to mention that The book that I was reading about, it's, I mean, the crimes, they talk about the crimes. I mean, the Kurdish scholars or Kurdish professor are talking about the crimes of Barzani and Talabani, backed by U.S. and Israel and Iran, against the Kurds. So this book that I'm going to send you is just the crime. It's not a crime against the Baghdad government. It's the crime against the Kurds. What I found interesting, in 1961, at the time of Abdul Karim Qasim, U.S. sent them a big shipment of weapons through Turkey just to fight their own Kurds people, because most of them, they don't want their rule. So they send them a big shipment of weapons to subdue the control their own Kurdish people. So their crimes against not only the Arabs and the Christian and the Turks and the Shabak, the crimes and against their own people, it's on huge. And a lot of people like Professor Omar Miran paid his life. Kamal Sayed Qadir and his son paid their life. There was an interesting thing happened, I think, 2000. Not interesting, it's tragic. In 2010, there is a very young, handsome Kurdish journalist. He was in one of the universities there. His name is Sardasht Uthman. Sardasht Uthman became a phenomenon. Why? He managed to publish some of his article, and he wrote it in a way that nobody imagined. His main article was, he said, "Ana ahib ibnat Barazani." I fell in love with Barazani daughter, one of the head of the militia. In his article, he mentioned all the corruption and most of the corruption and the crimes in an indirect way. He starts saying, "Oh, I fell in love with her, and I'll be, my father-in-law will be Barazani, and I will get millions of dollars, and I will be living in a big mansion, no more poverty, just like the way I live now. And my brother-in-law would be her brother, Nedrefan Barazani, and Masroor Barazani, and my mother-in-law will be this and that, and I will live in the mansion, and this mansion will be protected by the police dogs from U.S. and my guard will be the Israeli and the Mossad." Exactly, he said that. And he mentioned the corruption, and he mentioned a lot of things. They took him, they have a terrorist police called Al-Asayish, in which thousands of Saudis still there being tortured from all over Iraq. And they tortured him and they killed him. And people accused Barazani killing him. And so that's one of those who paid their life for, Allah irhamma, for challenging or exposing all the corruption and crimes of Talabani and Barazani. Kurdistan, it's better than the south and better than Baghdad. But poverty and people demonstration and a lot of things, you can read about it. It's just this charade that, okay, but underneath it, just the tribes, they call them the two tribes, Talabani and Barazani, and those who benefited them live very richly, very happily, and the others to hell with them. They are the poor, and they're Peshmerga and they're Asayish. Another thing, there are a lot of complaints get to Mr. Bush within 2007, 2008 about the Talabani and Barazani. So he sent a gentleman, I think his name is Mark Rubin, he's from Philadelphia.
Right.
And this gentleman went there. He discovered that Barazani, just in the few years, he managed to accumulate $2 billion. He said, "Oh my, where did he come from this from?" He said everything, the poverty, the torture, the inhuman treatment, everything. He said it, and he gave it to Bush. One of the opposition newspaper, Hawlati, in Kurdistan, managed to translate and publish Mark Rubin report. Another then Barazani and Talabani tried to sue Mark Rubin in America, and they put Hawlati and they're in jail, and they asked them for $4 million. That's one thing. I mean, I just want to mention about the amount of corruption there, and thus the militia who backed by U.S. is nothing but a thief.
Indeed. Alrighty, we are going to a 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Are you facing foreclosure? Worried about late payments? Fight back and stay in your home. Zero Debt Guaranteed can help. We'll send you a free ebook just for calling 800-477-9256. Or go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Get the details on how to remove your risk to your debt. And so important to many homeowners today, how to stop foreclosure.
Forget loan modification.
The Zero Debt in 90 Days system can show you how to get the bank to pay your property taxes and insurance while stopping your foreclosure.
Without paying one dime.
You can take control. Stop foreclosure. Protect your cash, assets, wages, property, and sleep peacefully at night.
We've been helping people for over 18 years.
Call Zero Debt Guaranteed, 800-477-9256. Ask for free information, no obligation. That's 800-477-9256. Or visit ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com now.
Now more than ever, killing many viruses and bacteria in our homes and at work is important. With the flu epidemic running rampant, you need to protect yourself and your family the best you can with purified air. Our air purifiers not only kill many viruses and bacteria in the air, but on surfaces too. Our air purifiers will also kill molds, fungi, mildew, oxidizes chemical fumes and toxic gases, removes dust, pollen, pet odors, and smoke. We have portable units, HVAC and industrial size units. In our homes today, protect your family the best you can by calling 1-877-605-9200 or go to our online store at republicbroadcasting.org. Call today to receive your 10% off and free shipping on any home unit. 1-877-605-9200.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest today is Bethana Nevlin, and we're talking about some of the things that have happened in Iraq and who is responsible. I do have a question from email. On your last appearance, you mentioned that the U.S. Marines took heavy casualties taking the airport. The U.S. government and media led us to believe that Iraqi military melted away and the U.S. military took light casualties. I have always thought U.S. numbers were grossly underreported. Can you elaborate on that?
Yes. I mean, of course, they will not say we have endured a great burden of casualties. But I'm more than sure that just the last battle, before the Russian envoy said, okay, now Baghdad will be another Nagasaki or Hiroshima. The last battle, some people say 1,700, some people say 2,000, just the last battle. Baghdad airport was really the mass massacre of the, the Iraqi army fought hard. Saddam was there. A lot of people who, when this, and they say their stories. One more thing. A lot of Iraqi people within the boundaries of Iraq, they say that the Fidayeen, they started when some of the attacks, when Iraqi army began to explode this smoke thing, they call it, I don't know what, smoke, so it prevents the visions. The Fidayeen used to come with their swords and cut the heads of the... I'm sorry, it's grass, but it's a self-defense. They cut the heads of the Marines, and they took the heads and piled it in a pickup truck, in an open truck, and they tore it around the people. So a lot of people saw tens and tens of these cut heads. It's gross, but it's self-defense. What can we do?
Well, it's also a Middle East standard. I mean, this it's a traditional thing and has been for a couple thousand years, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's a self-defense. So the Fidayeen was roaming, driving around, showing the people. So yes, I think it's a heavy casualties. That's what make Rumsfeld and the Pentagon crazy. And they resort to the last thing. They call it a small nuclear weapon that finishes the Iraqi army there. So those who managed to run away before that, I mean, we saw them. A lot of people saw them. We saw Saddam running there with the... I mean, it's horrible. I mean, especially when you see your leader running around and he was shouting crazy. He used to say, Baghdad... Baghdad is judging Hazet Yafo Chahlish when the lady, what shake you, Baghdad? It's horrible. I mean, just you see your president running around. My uncle saw him when he was in the West Bank, in the west part of Baghdad. He was mad for a few days. He came to our house and my father said, my father was the only one left in the house. He said, I thought that your uncle, your little uncle, and he's a grown up man, he has two children. I mean, just the horrible impact. You see your president trying, fighting so hard, and he managed because of the nuclears. He didn't manage. And it's hard. So he was crazy for a few days, and I don't know. It's horrible.
I think that we've all seen pictures of some of the things that the Palestinians have suffered and some of the little children. And I think that, well, you had 500,000 children that died in Iraq. Just from the sanctions. And I mean, that is incredible. And to see your family, your children perish right before your eyes, to see all the bloodshed. I mean, this country, the United States, has really not suffered, what we would actually call warfare since the Civil War. Nobody has really invaded our country. Certainly there was 9/11 and there was Pearl Harbor. But those were orchestrated events. Nobody has actually come into this country and killed our people in the streets and bombed our cities or bombed our homes. And so we have very little to relate to what the Iraqis have suffered and to what the people in Afghanistan have suffered. And, so it's very difficult for us to relate to that.
Yeah, one more thing to end the Kurdish page or the Kurds page. After the invasion, Kurdistan status of livings went very low or bad. The suicide rate double or triple or quadruple in Kurdistan. The poverty was, rampage. And even Barzani admit that situation in Kurdistan at Saddam time was much better than now. I mean, even himself, I read it in some of the Arabic newspaper. Cholera started to rampage the citizen there, especially in Sulaymaniyah, which is the headquarter of Talabani. Just to give you an idea about how bad things there. Yeah, that's about Kurds. One more thing, Diane. The Kurds, Talabani and Barzani claimed that Saddam did Anfal for them, or the campaign of Anfal, which deporting some of the border, the villages that on the border of Turkey and Iran, and deporting them to a farther place inside Iraq. Yes, he did that. Saddam did that. But why? The infiltrators, all those who come with, want to commit sabotage in Iraq, they come through the border. Iraq couldn't control this border unless with helicopters or jet fighters, and they shoot. They can easily, if there is no Kurdish villages around the strip of border, the Iraqi army will be perfectly in control of the infiltrators or those criminals. So at that time, the Iraqi army will incurring heavy casualties because of the existence of these villages. So Saddam decided, okay, we shall deport them. We shall give them huge amount of really huge amount. I mean, it's a simple, like a simple house. It'll save thousands and thousands of dollars. Something they can buy a whole mansion in Kurdistan at that time. They give them money for every tree, everything. And they build them a very civilized, nice villages just a little bit inside Iraq, so to be away from the strip of border. So that will enable the Iraqi army from protecting the border. They call it this al-anfal, in which deport. That's one crime against Saddam. It's just protection for the Kurds and protection for the all Iraqis against the criminal infiltrators from Iran and Turkey also. So that's, I'm glad I remember, this is al-Anfal thing. And when they did, they caught him, they never mentioned this because there is nothing to substantiate the claim. I'm done with the Kurds, and I'll send you this book, which your listeners can know much better about it. Though it's in Arabic, but I'll try to do my best and mention the main thing.
Okay.
Yeah. I just want to mention that Kurdistan, what they call Kurdistan, this is a long name. Hawk, Sulaymaniyah, and Erbil, the main province of Kurdistan, was a Christian. This is the place of the Arabic Christian Iraqi. You know, the north of Iraq is the Assyrian civilization was there. So Dhok is Assyrian name, Assyrian, Arthurian name. So the Assyrian civilization, they converted to Christianity from the early time of Christianity. And they stick with their religion. So we have, there are brothers. But it's really, Kurdistan is not Kurdistan. It's the Christian place for the Arab Christian civilization, the Assyrian civilization. I just want to mention that. The Kurdish people come in recent century. It's a Christian place. That's what I want to mention. I want to go to some of the lies about Uday, his son, who is demonized in the media. And I found a book. My sister-in-law's daughter sent it to me by, Uday, he's the big son of Saddam. And they tried to demonize him a lot also, within the whole campaign of demonizing Saddam. This writer called herself Zainab Salba, in which, her book, she mentioned that, I didn't read her book, but I was astonished how ugly is she. when I got the book, I said, what's this about? I didn't know I didn't read it, but I heard it one on NPR, that one of the interview, that she was either the daughter of the driver that drive to Saddam or daughter of the pilot, and Uday harassing her, and she ran away, and now she's telling her sad story, and I don't know if she said he rapes her or harass her, I don't know, that is easy, you can... What a total lie! What a lie! I mean, Uday, to look at a person like her, no way. No way. Uday, I'm sorry.
A question.
Yes.
Now, there have been a few people that have said that Saddam Hussein was not really captured, that it was one of the people, one of his substitutes, one of his lookalikes, and that he is still alive. And that the person that the Americans tried was not Saddam Hussein.
That's a big lie, Diane. I mean, just look at the execution. What he showed, the bravery and the glory and the honor, and that's Saddam that we know. He's executed. He was killed hideously, and he showed, we are proud of him. And he will be, our Saddam till the end of the time. That's a big lie. He was executed after the execution. Thus, all of those, the Iranian who were there, Muqtada al-Sadr, the Iranian student, the other, they came to his body after his execution, and they stabbed him with knives and knives and screwdrivers. You see, there is a big blood in his neck. There is one of the picture of his execution when he's in a white coffin. They stab him harshly with knives and screwdriver, and they took his body to Maliki, the puppet of Iran. And at that time, it was the wedding of his son Ahmed, and they started jumping and dancing over his dead body. So this is a lie, a big lie. He died. I wish, inshallah, he's in heaven, inshallah. I ask God for that. But that's a lie.
Right. Okay. So, they treated his body the same that they did Gaddafi's body in Libya?
Exactly. Exactly. But they didn't show it. They didn't show it. And, the substitute or the decoy was another lie. He never had that. I mean, a lot of his bodyguards who's still alive say this is a big lie. Never, he never had it. He's straightforward. He's with the protocol and etiquette and trust and kindness. And that's what, I mean, part of his default is his too much kindness, too much trust. Yeah.
So he did not have a lot of doubles who...
No. Okay. No. That's a big lie. God bless him. It's a lie. They say the same thing about Uday. Uday has a decoy or a double. That's a big lie. I even found on the YouTube a jerk called himself Yahya Latif. Yahya Latif, in which, the BBC paid him to say, oh, I am the decoy of Uday, and he was raping, and he was... And nobody listened to him, so nobody cared about what he said. I mean, they try to make advantage of every little thing they can find. They couldn't find real crime, so they say Uday is this and this, and this jerk you can. And this Zainab, she's a big liar, because everybody know the driver and the pilot of Saddam. Everybody know that. And Uday, the girl, Uday loved a girl from a Mosul family, a middle class family, very, very, very bright family. And he wanted to marry her. This is the only love of his life. I think she's from Al Ali family. But his father didn't want him to marry her. I mean, there is some reason. I mean, if I have time, I'll. But that's the only girl he loved. And there were tons of girls who were dying just to meet him. I mean, we know his birthday parties. Oh my goodness. Women from all the world come and just want to meet him. His girlfriend, he has a girlfriend. His girlfriend was a very beautiful girl, called Shuruq, and she is number one anchor in Al-Shabaab TV, which he owns. And everyone, he knows that Shuruq, very beautiful girl, her Iraqi father, mother from Holland. Extremely, I saw her many times. I talked to her. That's his girlfriend. But for this Zainab to come and say, oh my goodness, can't you look to your face first? And another thing, my sister-in-law want to ask me about a book called Infidel by a Somali girl named Ayan Arsi Ali. I remember because she asked me recently. She wanted to know, is that the real what the Muslim do, or that the culture Muslim? So my husband told her that's a propaganda against the Muslim. And I told her, is this the Somali girl? She said, yes. She said, I told her, we know about her because she left nobody. She knocked on the door. I can tell any atrocity on the Muslim, just give me names. And some professors and intellectuals in Europe know her because she left nobody. Give me money and tell everything. And you find her as a scholar in the American Enterprise Institute run by Paul Wolfowitz, Rumsfeld, and Newt Gingrich, Dick Cheney, something like that. So she's a stooge for the neocon. So I just want to remind that your listener, because don't believe everything they said about the Muslim or the Iraqi, because there are people who are ready to sell themselves for a few dollars, let alone thousands and thousands. So I just want to say that to your listeners about all these lies.
Right. Yeah. Nancy, Now, getting back to Saddam Hussein, excuse me, I suppose the reason that they say that, oh, he escaped and that they killed a double and they incarcerated and tried and killed a double was to give credibility to the other lie that he worked for the CIA, correct?
Exactly. I mean, that's exactly. I mean, there is a lot of lies on him, but that's the most horrible thing. I mean, I tackle, but they wanted to say... I mean, even now, every now and then, my blood boils when I see an article in the newspaper about some flimsy thing. Oh, that's, I mean, it's a lie. Lies.
Alrighty, we are going to break. We'll be right back in 3 minutes.
The five self-evident truths of the Declaration of Independence are the standing definition of our republican form of government. Each unalienable right has an attached duty because we are all created equal. Like the right, the duty is permanent and non-transferable. There can be no paper to lien the right and no paper to waive the duty. Deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed does not mean if you can think of it, you can consent to it. Truly, it names a condition where a right must be held without violation of its duty by both parties who can then consent. Our grand jury has been destroyed without the consent or the right. Return the grand jury customarily impaneled by the elected county sheriff and one where people can appear with information. McGilvery Machine Company, Reading, Michigan. Innovative research and development of prototype industrial equipment since 1988.
Golden Stag Safaris invites you to hunt in one of Argentina's most beautiful scenarios. Enjoy the quietness of the Pampas and the five-star accommodation lodge. Excellent food and wine included in your stay. All the while hunting big game in the Argentine Valley. An area known for having a wide range of game, excellent trophies, the biggest stags in South America, as well as many other species. All gold medal quality. One-on-one guided hunts, rental guns available with the highest quality scopes in every caliber, Land Rovers for transport, pickup at Buenos Aires Airport, and a private aircraft for charter is all available. Go to www.goldenstagsafaris.com to see photos and for more information. Again, www.goldenstagsafaris.com.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and in some instances your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
Do you think that the U.S. military will ever leave your homeland?
Well, they are coming in another version. They left as occupiers. They are coming as mercenaries on the so-called security companies. So now at least there are between 50,000 or more security companies, which is most of them are Marines, old U.S. military. No, I don't think they will ever leave. I mean, it's horrible. unless there is big change in America, and I don't think America wholly controlled by the you know who. So I know, Diane. I mean, I don't know. I mean,
they built what, 14 military bases there, and isn't that just to impose the structure, the power structure in Iraq?
Just the American embassies are the size of the Vatican, city of the Vatican, and it's called $1 billion. It's built by a company from Kuwait called First, and they didn't allow even Iraqi to build it. They brought their own Asian labor. See how much they love Iraqis. So unemployment and get an Asian people to build it. And Diana, I want to mention there is a book called Secrets and Lies, Operation Iraqi Freedom and After, by veteran Middle East journalist Dilip Hiro, D-I-L-I-P-H-I-R-O, which he mentioned about the corruption and the criminal acts of Barzani and Talabani. And he said, I mean, Talabani and Barzani are traitors against their own country and their own people. That's one thing. Other thing that the book, this Zainab Salba, I don't know. If you see all the whole books, there is not a picture for her with Uday, which is something unusual because people, whenever they see Uday, they want to have a picture. The back cover has a picture of a woman with a little baby and a picture of Saddam putting his hand on a teenager student. Well, so that's Saddam used to meet hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of student every year, just to encourage them and hear from them, just a way of connection between the leader and his people. He want to see them, he want to encourage them. So you never see Zainab with kissing or with Uday, or just a big lie. The last thing, in an honor for my friend, I want to mention about my best friend, Chris Nadia.
And we have that song ready to queue up, too.
It's just the last segment of the people who are terrorized by the puppet government or the Christian. There were horrendous attack on the Christian community in Karada City. I love all the churches there. We used to, we call it Tekumrad. We go and make a wish there and ask the nuns, and they do something and see if our wish will be granted or not by Her Holiness, Our Lady Virgin Mary. So the last people who get, there's a big massacre called Sayyidat al-Najat massacre, in which a lot of Christians get killed, and there's a big exodus of Christian community. It's one of the terrorizing activity against the good people, the Iraqi patriot. That's so the last. So thank you, Diana, honey, and I hope, inshallah, I give some lights about the plight of my country. Hopefully it will help. Allah bless you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You said about, we are in Iraq. I mean, you know, we are believer in Christ, alayhi salam, and he's the savior, Jesus. So if Iraq will be ever liberated, it's his holy descendancy.
Alrighty.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye, listeners. Talk with you tomorrow.